Take it away.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the TSC call. As a reminder, this is an open call. You're supposed to have read the antitrust policy notice, which is displayed in front of you right now, as well as the code of conduct. Don't we display that too? Yeah. And which essentially, you need to be familiar with, and basically don't act like a jerk, try to behave like a decent human being, and you will be welcome on the call. So with that being said, we wanted to start the call with a couple of announcements. The first one is with regard to the Maintainer Summit, which will take place next week in Minneapolis. Dan Middleton has been leading the charge on setting that up and making it happen. He's traveling today, but he gave me a short update days ago saying that we basically put the maximum occupancy. There is an agenda that has a collection of proposed topics, which seems pretty full as well. We haven't decided exactly how we're going to sort out all the proposals. And so I think we'll have to sort that out. Either Dan will send an email beforehand, or I suspect we'll run this slightly like a non-conference type of meeting. When we are there at the beginning, we'll decide who really wants to work on what within the agenda. That's just my take on it. We'll have to see. But so registrations are closed. I don't think you could do it, but even if you did now, be aware that there is just no room left. You have limited capacity, and so we just can't accommodate any more people. Bootcamp. Silona is still, are you there? Want to say something? Any updates?
Yes, we're coming up on it here pretty soon, and we're working a lot towards a registration. We just made it free last week because there were evidently some problems with payments going through. So we're hoping that that solves some of our registration issues, because we had about people who had seen the original, 3,000 people had seen the original email, about 1,200 of them clicked through, but only 10 of them bought tickets. So we think that there was some problems with the processing, and so we're fixing that right now so that those people can all get signed up.
All right. Thank you. So now I wanted to echo the email Silas sent to the mailing list a couple of days ago regarding a borough relaunch. So Silas, since you're here, why don't you just take it and tell us all what you want us to know and do.
Ooh, thanks, Alan. So yeah, I just wanted to flag it on this call just to give people a bump to if they do have any feedback to get that to me. I'm thinking of probably, I think the latest I could send it off, I'm trying to get it out on the first day of the Maintainers Summit, because that's when there's a slot. So I might send it off tomorrow, or I could maybe wait till Monday if there's any feedback. But I give a bit more detail in the covering email there. But basically, just like I've tried to do a bit of branding, which is not exactly entirely in my wheelhouse. But and I've come up with this boring blockchain concept, and then there's a whole like massive section on features and detail that just doesn't exist in a semi-coherent way anywhere else. We've also done a load of work on docs, so the links off there, a lot of those docs are new. Does anyone have any feedback about the bullet points there, how Borough is sort of being portrayed, whether people like it, because the issue we have is that people have no idea why you would choose Borough or what our general vibe is. And it's an effort to do that. So feedback on that. And if anyone has any time, I know people are busy, but if you find following links or there's anything broken, then now is a good time for me to fix that. So yeah, that's all.
All right, thank you. So moving on, unless there's any questions or comments. Moving on, I wanted to echo also the call for participation for the Hyperledger Global Forum was extended by 1 week, but it's closing tomorrow. So if you still have some ideas that you would like to submit, now is the time to do so. So that's all there is to say about this. We have 2 quarterly reports that are due, but that are not been submitted as far as I could tell. Just a few minutes ago, I looked. So this is Architecture Working Group and the Fabric Project. So please do submit those as soon as possible. And if there are any questions or point of discussion, we can take that next week.
I do have a question.
Sure.
And it may just be because I'm not caffeinated yet, but it used to be in the wiki under the TSC, you'd see project reports, project updates, and I don't see those anymore.
Okay, so that's maybe that would have been worth an announcement of some kind, but so that's, thanks for prompting me. I was actually just looking at that. So what happened with the wiki, you know, is we may have lost some people on the way there because essentially, actually Chris pointed out to me last week, I think, how come we don't have a wiki space for the TSC? And I said, yeah, I don't know. I asked Ryan, he's like, well, this is just an oversight. Let me create one. And then we started saying, okay, but what do we do with all the pages that exist? And Rai was thinking of moving all the pages, but then it brings all the links that may exist from the outside world to the pages, such as like if you send an email with a pointer to one of the pages, it breaks the link. And I'm an old fashioned web guy. I was taught, you know, that cool URIs don't change at W3C. And so I try to live by that. So we came up with the solution to copy all the pages in the new space and put a pointer from the old pages to the new one. As a result of that, the navigation bar that you see on the left, when you look at the TSC page, does not include the project updates. But I was just looking at a way to get that back in. I don't think we're going to move the pages. I'm not sure there's a point to do that. When it comes to the project and working group updates, they can stay where they are. They are in each respective space. But I do want to make it easy to access those from the TSC space. So I ran out of time before the call, but otherwise I would have created some pages to make it easy to access those pages. So long story short, now it means that if you want to access those, you have to go back up to the other space or up in the hierarchy of the wiki to the top and go back down in the project section or the working group section to find the TSC update sections.
Thank you for the clear and concise explanation.
Well, it's also a little bit of a broken aspect with one of the modules, and that it was supposed to put those links in for them automatically, and for some reason it wasn't. And so that was one of the things that kind of frustrated Ryan and I as we were trying to figure out why the plugin wasn't actually functioning correctly and automatically putting those links in when he moved it from one place to the next. It doesn't work when you copy, but when you move things, it should work, and it wasn't. And we still don't know why it wasn't working correctly because I use it all the time.
Yeah, and you know, I want to give Rai some credit there. He's been working hard in the back trying to get all this crap sorted out. And I've worked with him and pointed out, oh, this is broken, I can't edit this and all. And he's been, you know, going after one fire after another. So I think we're almost there.
It's really weird because we do this in Confluence all the time. And for some reason, this one's breaking a lot more than any of the others have, and I don't understand why. I literally move around spaces all the time, and y'all never notice. But this one evidently decides to break in a bunch of different ways, to which Ryan, which is leaving Ryan and I a little bit perplexed. So sorry about that. Technical difficulties, not Rye, more Confluence doing what the hell. So, yeah.
If you go to the main technical steering committee page and you look at the child pages, you see a lot of child pages, but they're not evident on the front page itself, maybe because the lack of a macro or something that exposes them to the front page.
Yeah, they don't live in that space. So that's the deal, right? So you're right. There's a macro that's missing. It's the child pages macro. I just didn't have time to get it done before this meeting.
Yeah. No problem. I'm just...
By the time this meeting is over, the macro will be there and it'll work. So...
All right.
It's all right. No need to be defensive, right? I mean, I don't think Vimpin meant it as criticism as much more like just information. So... I mean, obviously, we're not completely done with this, so bear with us, and hopefully we'll get there soon. All right, so let's move on. We have a whole bunch of issues that have been open. I added a bunch more based on Brian's email, which, you know, from the responses that were sent to the list seem pretty positive. And so I created a couple more. I mean, actually, there were like four different or five different points. One fell within the existing voter selection item, but the others were new. So I created those. And because they seem to be non-controversial, I was hoping we could be, you know, maybe close those quickly. Of course, you may prove me wrong there, but let's give it a shot. So I listed a whole bunch on the agenda, starting with things that I thought might not be controversial and we could close quickly, and going to the harder ones, and we'll see how far we can go. So maybe before I get into this, I wanted to ask, is there anything else that's not on the agenda that anybody wants to bring up today? Because this, you know, I will run this all the way to the end. How much, you know, the time we have. So now is your chance if you want to insert anything. Okay, hearing none, let's get started.
Hey, so Arnold.
Yes?
A question on these proposals, I guess. How many of these require governing board approval after we approve them?
So as far as I know, the only one that really requires board approval has to do with the size.
And the quorum, I would assume, right? Since that's in the charter today?
No, the charter doesn't say anything. That's the
problem, actually. Well, yeah, the charter says something about the governing board, though, right? So I would assume we'd want to put that in for the PSC as well.
Well, we could ask them to insert that, but at this point... They have wording about the quorum for the board, but not for the technical steering committee. So I think we can make our own decision, and then, you know, we can take I'll take another look and make sure that, you know, if anything needs to be endorsed by the board, we'll bring it up to the board. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right. So with that being said, so the first one had to do with the actual election process itself. So Brian pointed out that, you know, so it was, I think, you know, it was a bit difficult, and there were some, we had to have a relaunch, and there were discussions about the time frame that, you know, that was given, allocated to different steps within the process. And so essentially, Brian suggested that we make sure that this is defined properly before the election and approved by the TSC. So this merely says we shall approve, you know, the TSC should approve the process put before us by the staff. on an annual basis. I have to say, I hesitated on the last piece, whether it needs to be done on an annual basis or not. I'm not completely clear, but.
I want to ask a really quick question, Arnaud. Is it your expectation that we're going to do roll call votes for each of these? It's my expectation that that's what we want to do, but are you just going to do a voice vote?
I hope we can do a voice vote.
Excellent. Let's do that.
By the way,
I won't try the easy way if possible, but before we get to vote, I wanted to ask you if there's any comments.
Yes.
Or questions. Yes.
Yes, Arnaud. The data collection should be an ongoing process. We shouldn't be waiting till the end to scramble and collect the data, because most of the contributors, by the end of the 8th or the 10th month, 80% of them will be known, because it's 1 year of, prior that the contributions are eligible. So I think that we have to have a process by which we set up the data collection regularly. And also the Get Out the Vote campaign has to be much more rigorous, because okay, otherwise, okay. So
I hear you, and I think these are valid points, but I don't think, you know, the proposal before us is really tied to any of this, because the proposal is really just to say, we need to have a defined process put before us by the staff, and we will formally approve it.
Okay.
So what you're saying is the process should include these things you just talked about, which, you know, is all.
Because in the second point, it does talk about the data collection in September.
Yeah, but so we are on the first one. Bear with me.
All right.
Election process approval. So any other questions or comments on that?
Do we want to add a time frame? So like they need to come before the TSC a month before the proposed start of the election, versus here's our thing, we're starting tomorrow.
We could do that, I suppose.
Yeah, I like that, Mark.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Mark.
Okay, so we want to amend
this. I agree. I agree, but I tell you personally, this is going to be, if not like the first order of business I come to the TSC after things settle down, it's going to be like the second or third, because this is really high on my priority to not go through this again. So don't worry.
Yeah, but we can add no later than a month prior to the start of the election process or something.
How about 6 months?
You have help. You will have help according to the ones coming up, the proposals coming up.
Yeah, but so do we agree on this? Does anybody have a problem with adding a time frame? Like Mark said, did you say a month before?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very flexible on the amount of time, but I figured a month or so would give. You know, if there's a discussion that needs to go through and do it.
I want six months.
You can deliver early, Ray.
No. I want the TSC to be invested in the election process. And I understand the 6 months out may sound like it's a really long time, but to all the points that Vipin was raising, these aren't a lot of issues that we can just solve in 2 weeks, right? And if we only give us a month, nothing's going to happen, right? So I propose six, go with one.
Well, the problem with six is if a month before the election we find that there's something wrong with the process, then technically we'd have to wait 6 months before we could hold the vote again.
I don't know. I mean, if it's 6 months
kill
before
ourselves over these guys.
Yeah. If it's six months before, doesn't it give you more time to handle the problems rather than a month before?
depends on the wording. That's all. I'm fine with whatever.
I suggest we add to after an annual basis, we say, you know, no later than 1 or 3 months prior to the election process. So the start.
Sure. And then that they can come in much earlier and get bigger bonuses for achieving their goals early.
You should I edit this and you reload the.
I feel like going back to the 6 months before we can hold an election, 3 months before we hold an election might be too much as well. But yeah, that's, I guess, just a concern, right? I mean, I understand the, like, I've done this process before, so I know what it is, right? And basically, you could see probably me reaching out to people all year around saying, like, hey, you got 2 email addresses, which one do you want? Sort of thing, or hey, I see you have a like no reply. What do you want? So I just feel like if we put something longer than a month, that we're asking for trouble in the future.
We're talking. Let's make sure we all agree on what we're talking about. We're talking about the approval of the process.
Exactly, the approval of the process. No less than a month before the process starts.
Yeah, so I suggested 3 months.
I prefer leaving it open that way for staff discretion, and then I think we should move for votes so we can get through as much of this list as we can.
So you're saying we leave it the way it is?
Nathan? I think a month, right, Nathan?
Yeah, a month is fine, and then we leave. Past the month, we leave it open for staff discretion. I like the attitude of the staff in terms of trying to approve it early and work on it all the way along. And I think that the staff is motivated to do that without us dictating it in the resolution.
Okay, I'm updating this to add no later than 1 month prior to the election.
I mean, if you want to solve the entire problem, then we should just come up with one process that's going to be used from here on out.
Reload.
Yeah, I'm assuming that once we, you know, get the process defined and down, it will, might need a tweak every now and then, but it should be good to go every year.
You didn't get it? Boy, what's going on? I think I did, didn't I? Try again, please.
I see it. It's on the.
Oh, there it is. No later than 1 month prior to. Okay.
I make a motion. We approve this.
I second that motion.
Thank you. So, anybody disagrees? Anybody abstains? I assume everybody else agrees. So this is agreed, approved. Thank you. This is supposed to be an easy one, guys. I'm a bit worried about the time we spend on this, but let's keep on going. It's all right. So the next one is the actual timing of the election. So, and you know, there are further, the process will specify exactly the different steps and how much time is allocated for each phase of the election process, you know, such as nomination, the actual vote itself, and all that good stuff. What this is about is the general time frame of the election. As you all know, we have had the election happen in August, and it has been pointed out this is actually a pretty bad time of the year to try to get everybody's attention because of all the vacation happening in many parts of the world. And so the general idea was, well, let's push it either to September or to October. And in fact, because I suspect, you know, the process itself will take quite a bit of time, I decided to take from Brian's suggestions the latter, which is to put the election really in October and leave September to do all the finalization of the preparations, such as ensuring we have the right list of voters and whatnot. So that's what this proposal is basically about. It's basically saying, let's move the election from August to October. That's really the key part. So, any comments?
No, I think this is very sensible.
To finalize the data collection.
Vipin?
To finalize the data collection.
What are you saying? Finalize the data collection? What?
Instead of doing the data collection in September, they should be, hopefully, you know, it might be easier to do it on an ongoing basis. Finalize. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but if you really want to do some wordsmithing, we can do that.
Well, that's fine if somebody just wants to make the edit.
I will do it. No, let me do this. I will change the word do to finalize. Click update, try to reload now, it should be there. Okay, it's there.
I see it.
Are we good with that proposal? So,
sure,
anybody objects to this? Oh, we have to do the file, yeah, anybody wants to move?
I make a motion. I make a motion to accept this.
Second.
Thank you. So anybody disagrees or objects? Silence. Very good. Anybody wants to abstain? Silence. Very good. So I take it we all agree. It is therefore approved. Okay, we're making some progress. Let's keep on going and see how far we can do that. So next is the nomination. That was a very simple point. And Brian, you know, it was noted that so until in up to this year, the election process allows anybody to nominate either themselves or somebody else. What happened is, and you could argue this is just because it was not handled properly, but the way the election went on is there was no time for people to actually accept their nomination when they were nominated by somebody else. And we ended up with this situation where people were on the list of candidates when they didn't want to be on it. And so they were, you know, sending email to Rice saying, please take me off. And so it created a bit of a unstable situation, let's just say. And so the idea is to change this. There are actually two really ways to do this. Either we just say, oh, we have to have some phase where people have to accept when they are nominated by somebody else, or we just say, no, people nominate themselves, period. You cannot nominate somebody else. So I took the latter, which was from Brian's proposal, but I could imagine going the other way. I don't know. If it matters to
people, I think self-nominations makes the most sense.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was saying self-nominations, this is Gary. Self-nominations makes the most sense.
I guess the thing with self-nominations, and Tracy, feel free to help me out here if you agree, is it can be a cultural, gender kind of thing. Some people aren't comfortable self-nominating.
Also, good point, Mark. Good point.
Also, if you make the changes that you have suggested earlier, these problems that cropped up in this year's election may not be there because you're giving more time in the beginning to do all this faffing around to get the nomination list set. So this may not even be a problem. So I cannot move anything, but I suggest that this be excised from this list, not even discussed.
It was a problem this year So I can foresee in the future it would be a problem. So I would argue against that.
Well, I'm saying that you're changing the process to add more time in the beginning. So if you're doing that, then this problem that happened this year, you may be fixing a problem that doesn't exist.
No, but right. Vipin, the problem year was people didn't, in previous years, it's been an email, and people would, if I nominated you, you would either decline it or accept it through the email. This year, there was no email. Everything just got put, you know, on a web page in a form you filled out. So you didn't even know who was running till you actually saw the ballot.
Yeah, Mark is touching on an important point that's part of the proposal that I didn't highlight, which is, you know, this year it was done through a form, and you the result was only posted on the wiki, and the proposal says no, the nomination should be done by sending an email to the list. So we could do, if people feel like there may be a need for the ability to nominate someone else, then one way to solve the situation we had would be to say nomination shall be posted to the TSC list and get confirmed in case of nomination by a third party. Something along those lines.
I like that option.
I'm also not very particular whether we're approving some of these things now versus when we approve them when we do the annual process approval.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of these things are things we can change our mind on. So I prefer to move through some of these a lot faster than we are.
But why would we need to change our mind, per se? I mean, can't we just agree what we want to agree to here and go with it?
Yeah, I'm just saying, we seem to be picking every detail apart on these, and they're taking, you know,
I agree with you there.
Each instead of two or three.
Yes, I don't know if anybody could disagree with this, but you can see how much time it takes. People care about every single little detail every time something gets discussed. It takes a lot of time to close the issue. So as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather finish it now and we don't have to reopen it. But.
So does anybody have any problems if we say nominations shall be posted to the TSC list and confirmed by the person nominated?
I think that's great.
If we just do that for the time.
That
seems to make everybody happy. And if you don't confirm, then you're just not included. So, because we did have some people well known in the Hyperledger community this year who were nominated and didn't want to run.
But they didn't know they were nominated until they saw their ballot.
Right. Yep, that's right.
Okay, I updated the proposal. Does that work?
Yep.
I move to vote on this resolution.
Second.
I second that motion.
Everybody's eager to get through this. Good. All right. Anybody objects? Anybody wants to abstain? Hearing none, I think we can declare it approved. Thank you. I like that I'm not the only one getting impatient.
Just hurry up.
All right. The next one should be simple. It basically just says, hey, you know, we could have some volunteer observers to the election process. They could help out the staff, and they could monitor and be, you know, like there's one condition is that you're not running, obviously. Is that controversial in any way?
Do we have to be, I'm sorry, I don't want to belabor this, but do we have to be concerned about rankings being released by these volunteers?
So you bring up an interesting point, Tracy, and this is one. The Condorcet interface does not give us a way to give kind of a read-only view. So this was a point that, you know, because you basically, if you have the Condorcet interface, you have complete control, or you have none, or you have an access to the complete results, or you have none. This would not include access to the actual Condorcet using the CIVS thing. So I think the answer is no.
So I know when I had access in the past, I could see like the rankings and I could see kind of how far off somebody was from, and I don't want that to be released. So I feel like there's, you know, some sort of privacy here that we should consider.
Right. So what I'm saying is that the election observers won't have access to that.
I don't understand this. I don't understand this, because if you're volunteering to be an election observer, you're obviously an upstanding member of the community, same as the HO staff who see the elections. So why are we bringing in this point? Maybe we should just say that, you know, they will not release those results. And, you know, we have the whole purpose of observers is so that there is someone else having the same view. And
yeah,
if you think that that will cause a privacy breach just because you pick the observers randomly, then you should only trust the members who will you know, do this properly.
I think this should be addressed in the request for observers, that it should be made clear that these people are bound to privacy and, you know, and are committed to keep it that way. And that's it. I mean, there's only so much we can do.
I think Tracy's point is exactly that, that, you know, there's no punitive action we can really take if someone does violate privacy.
Shouldn't this actually be like a board decision and not a TSC decision, to be honest with you?
I mean, I think most charter of these things are actually board decisions. Like the charter, if you read it, is very ambiguous about this stuff, and it's possible that you could have a lot of different interpretations of the text. We would need to go into like constitutional lawyer mode to figure some of this stuff out.
Let's be clear about all these guys. I feel like a lot of those issues we are tackling when it comes to the process, you know, should have been tackled by the governing board, but they are not. So we could try to get the board to take all on all of this, but I fear it's going to take even more time. And so I was trying to find a way quick, you know, a quick way out of this by saying, okay, let's just agree. And it's, maybe I'm wrong, because it seems like we can rattle.
Well, yeah, because even on this one, I have to be, one, nobody puts the purpose for this, but I assume that you want to have some volunteer election observers either because you wanted people to help out or because you wanted some extra pair of eyes because you don't trust something else is going on. But then the counterpoint is we don't trust those people to do the job they're supposed to do. So we're adding people to add additional trust, but then we're saying we don't want to vote for it because we don't trust them.
All right. So I think this is a good point. It raises some valid concerns regarding privacy and confidentiality. I suggest we move on, we leave it aside. We don't have to decide that now. And we can bounce it to the board and say, hey, we had these suggestions about the observers, but it raised some issues we didn't know how to tackle. So, and, you know, if it doesn't get solved, then there is no observers. It's not the end of the world. We have lived with that there. So, sounds good?
I think one of the reasons for this, just for some clarification, is in the past, the TSC chair has been involved in working with the Hyperledger staff. And if the TSC chair is running for election again, then there's an inherent conflict of interest there. Not that that's been violated at all, but just to make sure things are, you know, that the observers would potentially help in some of the wording. You know, they'd see the wording of stuff before it goes out and could suggest changes, things like that.
So actually, Mark, just to clarify,
the TSC chair was never involved in any previous elections. Those were always run by Hyperledger staff members.
So just this past one.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was some confusion about the inclusivity, the language of the announcement, and that is we requested input from the DCI working group, and that was where that came in.
Okay, so maybe we just need to clarify, I mean, as a guidelines to the staff, a reminder that they should not involve the chair or anyone else who is actually running the election, I guess.
Let's encourage comments in the document, in the page, and move on for today.
Okay. Let's move on. Then there's a question about the quorum. So we've talked about this before, and especially if we are ever to increase the size of the TSC, there is a question about, well, what should be the quorum? What happens if somebody is not participating anymore, not attending the meetings? And we had some suggestions made, and then Dan actually realized that there is some wording on the charter regarding quorum for the board, but not for the TSC. So the suggestion is simply to adopt this exact same wording that exists for the board for the TSC. And there are many ways we could address this issue, but I'm happy to just adopt the governing board, the quorum definition, and just use the same. And the key point is basically it guarantees that we're not getting stalled by the fact that somebody may just drop off and not bother to call. But it's not very, very severe. The consequences basically is you're not counted after three meetings or two meetings you miss, and then you know, you get back on as soon as you get back on. So
this rule seems to work quite well in places like the W3C, in part because it's not enforced very aggressively, meaning people are sensitive to not try to push a vote through when quorum is missing someone who might be affected by that vote. So I like the idea that this is the same wording that we get off of the board of directors, because it gives us some consistency and something that we can expect. And I would also expect that as a TSC, we're sensitive to when maybe there's a conference that involves all the Ethereum folks and maybe the EVM representatives are gone for 2 weeks. We wouldn't plan on trying to push something through that might really significantly affect the projects that were related to that the third week, because then if someone had connectivity problems, you know, we would have quorum even though they're not, their projects might not be represented.
Yes, I agree completely with this. And I would like to think that the chair could handle the situations the way anyone would expect or hope for. And if I'm not aware, please let me know. I'm happier to accommodate to make it right. So, all right. So unless there's any more comments, let's agree. Let's get a motion for this, please. See if we can get it approved.
So this wording now matches what the board has, right?
Yes, I copy pasted and replaced the governing board by TSC.
Okay. Then I make a motion we approve it.
Second.
Anybody wants to second it?
I did.
Okay, second. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't hear. But so anybody disagrees or objects to the proposal? Anybody wants to be marked as abstaining? Hearing none, I declare it approved. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. The next one is this notion of co-chair or vice chair. So we have had this situation the beginning of the year when Dan was the chair and he took a leave of absence for 3 months, he was absent. And then we had various people, apparently from Intel for the most part, replacing him on an ongoing basis, on and off one person or another. And it was pointed out that that's not ideal. And instead of relying on whoever happens to be there, and we could simply choose a vice chair who would supplement the chair when the chair is not available. As being on the point as chair, I totally support this idea because, you know, it stresses me out now when I travel a lot and I have to keep paying attention. Doesn't that conflict with my TSC call? And so it would give me a little bit of relief, you know, peace of mind to think, oh, it's okay. You know, somebody else might, the vice chair could do it. So that's the proposal then, is to have a vice chair. And then the next question is, if we agree to have one, how do we select it? So there are many ways we could do it. We could, somebody suggested the chair could name somebody, either as part of the election or afterwards. You could have a second election to elect the vice chair. Or my suggestion was, let's just take the second one on the results of the chair's election. And it may not feel like ideal, but I think it's a quick and simple way to get the answer. So that's the proposal put before you. Any comments?
I think the vice chair is a good idea.
I think it's very reasonable.
I don't know, this is Angelo. So what happens if the two co-chairs are, they have completely different views on how the TSC should be guided?
Then the chair doesn't miss many meetings.
Yes, the chair is very motivated.
Why doesn't the chair decide automatically? Give it its advice. I mean, the chair can just name it and then we are good to go.
Just
to have a consistency in the direction where this TSC will be driven. I mean, suppose that this co-chair is adversarial, and the time that he gets the lead, he moves in the completely opposite direction where the chair wants to go. So what do we do?
Well, I would like
the
to
chair,
take
the
that.
Chair doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, the chair organizes mostly. Yeah. I don't think
it's
we...
Not
I don't
like
think...
It. I mean, they, you know, especially given that we have an odd number of members, you know, it's, I have a vote like everybody else, but, you know, I will try not. I'd like to think that we don't really have this kind of so controversial situation where that really comes to matter, but maybe I'm naive. I don't know. I kind of like having to rely on the election because it means it's more democratic, you know, the members have selected people and we take that. But I like his
suggestion that if you're running for chair, you can ask another TSC member to be the co-chair and run with you. I think it shouldn't just default, you know, if there's only two people running, it defaults to the loser. So
I do want to point out that the proposal, even though the issue was raised as co-chair, the proposal is to have a vice chair, which clearly says the vice chair only comes into play when the chair is not available, which means, you know, in the case where both are present and they disagree, the vice chair has no role, right? Because he's just like another member. And so if really we were in that situation where it becomes critical, I imagine as chair, I would make sure to be on that call no matter what, or cancel the call. But I think it's all a bit, you know, it's a bit all far-fetched, honestly.
Hey, this is Mick. Just one thing to point out is if the chair appoints the vice chair, then it's not substantially different than what Dan was doing last year with asking us to cover for him. So you might want to have some independence between the two.
I prefer the second one in the election. Like Arno proposes here, the folks who are running from the TSC all have the project's best interest at heart. Otherwise, they wouldn't be giving up the time that they're giving up to do it. So I don't think there's a significant risk that someone would ram through opposing views without it being reversible in one way or another. And I also think that if there's the potential to be vice chair, it might motivate more of us to put their hat in the ring for chair, maybe with less of the hope of being chair, but being vice chair.
And that was actually one of my concerns, was if, and we'll vote on size later, but right now there's 11. So if four of us decide to run, you know, figuring, well, I might not become chair, but I could become vice chair then. And I'm not sure how the voting system actually calculates and gives scores to Ryan folks, but, you know, you could conceivably win with maybe three first place votes.
Actually, in Condorcet, you could probably win with no first place votes, but
yeah.
So what I propose is that I'm going to set up an election, and I'll set up a couple of trial elections with like unnamed people, right? And I will give you guys, the TSC, like a complete tour of the process, and you can see everything from end to end as I see it, and then we can talk about how to move forward. But the election could be interesting, exactly as Hart points out. You could win by not even having any first place votes.
Okay. The other solution is just to have two elections. I think at the level of the TSC, there's pretty simple processes. I mean, and I don't think it's a lot of work for Ryan, but I had suggested that. Brian said, let's keep it simple. Let's do only one election, but it would address the issues that I think make sense to me, is like people might want to just be vice chair, but not chair, because it's a bigger commitment.
So Arno, what exactly are, if we were to vote today, what are we voting on? I get the fact of, I think most people seem to be in agreement about a co-chair, and there was a proposal for how to do that here. So that could have been an easy vote, but now I've probably heard three or four other proposals for how to determine the co-chair.
Yeah, so I'm trying to understand if there's one that we could all agree on. Do you have a preference, Gary?
I mean, my personal, I would say we should have a co-chair and we should just take the first two results.
Okay.
I thought it was not a co-chair, but a vice chair.
Yeah.
Sorry, vice chair. You're right.
So it's the proposal. You're supporting moving the proposal. That's
yeah, because the proposal's written there and it seems fine to me. So I propose that one. That's good. But
it is simple.
That's me. Simple.
I mean, I'm also fine with that. I mean, I was just more for the discussion. I mean, I don't have anything against this, given that we can also see how it goes, and then we can revert to the decision if it doesn't make too much sense. So I can vote for it as well.
I move we vote on the proposal highlighted on the screen as written.
Thank you.
I second the motion.
All right. Thank you. Anybody objects to it? Was that yes, Mark?
No, I just can't ask a question now that we're voting.
Well, you can
imply you have a question by your vote.
Go ahead, ask your question, Mark, please.
No, I'm all in favor of a vice chair. Is this effective immediately? So if we vote as this is proposed,
let's get through this first, please. Okay, anybody objects? Hearing none, anybody wants to abstain? Okay, so I assume everybody else then approves. This is approved. And so we can get to Mark's question now, is does that take effect now? I would certainly hope so, but I don't know if we have to make another decision for this. Anybody
more question?
Letting basically Dan step in as vice chair as of now?
I don't know if Dan does, that's all.
Right.
He gets the action item for not being here.
Well,
can't we vote him vice chair without his approval? We have quorum.
We said you can't nominate, right?
Okay, I will check with Dan. We can get back to you on this. I don't think anybody would object to having Dan as vice chair. I mean, you know, as it was pointed out, you know, a lot of this is more like you're volunteering to do more work than not. But he ran to be chair, so I think he would be willing to be vice chair. At least he hasn't indicated to me that he would not. So I'm pretty confident he will step up.
Only if he promises not to take another 3 months off.
All right. So, we only have 3 minutes left. But the next one is the TSC size, which is a harder one. And that's why it was left last, but I was hoping we'd have a bit more time to discuss it. Can we do that any? So
my only concern about this, and I want to point out that I never told anyone that Dan was the other person running for TSC chair, right? Because I felt that it wasn't good to, like, if you don't win the election, don't mention it. Now, if we add these four people, everyone's going to know, you know, who made the cut and who didn't make the original cut. That's my only objection to picking the next four. I think that's the way that we have to do this. But people are going to know that you know, those four people did not get enough votes originally, right? So that's my only objection.
Okay, so we could ask them.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, though, right? Because that also means that they didn't get to vote on the TSC chair and vice chair, as the case may be, right? So, you know, doing it now after the election is a tough one.
Okay, so we can separate those two things because, in fact, there's, Chris brought that up before the election. You know, he said, hey, we have many more projects than we started with. The board has been increased. Maybe we should increase the size of the TSC as well to have, you know, more representation from the project. And then we had the election and we had a result where there were a lot of IBMers. And then some people felt this is not right. So I thought, okay, we can, you know, everybody seemed to be in favor of increasing the number of seats when Chris brought it up first. So I thought, let's do that now and let's just add the next four. And that way, hopefully, we'll increase the representation and then, you know, we'll solve all of this at once. Obviously, it has created a bigger controversy than I expected. There are, to be fair, pros and cons. We can separate the two aspects that are on the proposal on the screen there. I mean, we could discuss whether we agree to extend the board, the TSC, to 15 seats. And 15, you might argue, you know, why 15, why not 17 or whatever. I try to pick a number that would increase what we have without getting out of control. So it's somewhat arbitrary, but not completely. And then we can discuss whether, you know, if we were to agree to increase on 15, whether we make that effective now or not. We could say, no, this will apply for next year, not before. So we're out of time. I'm going to leave it at this for now. I take that as input moving forward. I recommend people or encourage people to participate in the discussion that's happening on the wiki. So that will definitely help. You know, it helps bring this kind of issue before so that we have a proposal that's more likely to pass quickly on the call.
And if that's ever possible. This one will definitely require board approval because it will require a charter change.
So. That's correct. That's yeah, one point
that's implemented quickly. So,
yes.
That's it. You know.
No, but I mean, so the approval, that's why it said pending board approval, right? So it would be contingent to approval by the board.
Right. But it might make sense to just propose we change the number and it happens in the next election cycle. Because by the time this gets discussed here, discussed by the board, yes, it'll be next calendar year at least.
That might be indeed. Anyway, we are over time, so I apologize. I want to thank everybody for joining us today, and thank you for helping us get through some of these issues at least. We'll be able to close them and move forward. Thank you all. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Arno.
Thanks, Arno.
Bye.